Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Jeffrey Eugenides has been called a great American writer by the Los Angeles Times Book Review and a master of voice by the Washington Post. He will deliver the annual William Gifford Lecture on Tuesday, October 28th at 6 p.m. at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Eugenides' debut novel, The Virgin Suicide, is now considered a modern classic. He followed it up with Middlesex, which won the Pulitzer Prize. His most recent novel is The Marriage Plot and explores the lives of three college friends. It is a great pleasure to welcome back Jeffrey Eugenides to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
It's a pleasure to be here again.
What do you enjoy imparting on students when you do such events and give such lectures?
I'm actually quite a good example of somebody who doesn't really know what he's doing most of the time. So that's usually something that students appreciate because I'm quite open about the fact that writing is difficult, that one usually works in the dark, that you never really get a handle on it. I was reading an interview in the Paris Review that was given by the Norwegian novelist Karl Ove Knausgård the other day, and he was saying that good writers don't know how to write. That's the thing about writers. They don't really know how to do it. And I knew exactly what he meant. So I usually present myself to a body of students and tell them that, you know, I've been working at this a long time. I still don't know what I'm doing. I've gotten better at it, but you know, if they care to go into this line of work, they have to be ready for a lot of confusion. Some ecstasy, some pleasure, but a lot of confusion.
Does the ecstasy and pleasure come in the rare moment when you do know what you are doing?
Yes, every few years you have a good day. That constitutes the ecstasy. There's the pleasure of doing it and trying to connect with your life and express your experience of life on the page. So, you know, in a daily way, I'm excited to do the work, but there's a fair amount of frustration. You just, psychologically, the key is to not let the frustration and disappointment overwhelm you, because it can be negative and make you feel that you can't write anything. But on the other hand, if you're too confident, it leads to some problems of just writing any old thing and thinking that it's worth people's time.
When you have a sense that a project is coming together and you know where you want it to go, you know what you're doing at that point, right? I mean, do you have a little more confidence then in where it can go because you have the idea of where it can go?
I think my experience is that at a certain point with a book, once I have the narrative method worked out, and especially the voice for the novel, that I feel less anxiety and a surer sense of the way forward. You still have, you know, worries about if you're going to be able to finish it properly and things like that. But I think most writers will report that there is a moment in the book where, you know, the clouds seem to part a bit and you make a, you know, easier progress.
When it comes to your work and your novels, when do you think you get it right in the sense of telling the type of story that you like to tell? Because you love, it seems, in reading you and enjoying your work, that you love telling us about very interesting, complex characters, and yet somebody that we could know very, very well.
I don't know what the answer to that is. I think that I, you know, in my early novels tried to write about characters I didn't know too well about, whose lives are rather spectacular. Lately, I've been hewing a little closer to the bone and writing about people I know or writing about people in situations more like my own. It depends on the time of life, what I'm confronted with. I think when I was writing my first book, I really didn't know much about who I was. So the point of view was really out into the world, describing my neighborhood or memories of childhood memories of things that I remembered, and that was the only way I could write a first book, because my own self was still quite mysterious to me. As I've gotten older, I've gotten at least a little bit of a better handle on the psychological and emotional forces, you know, at war within me. And so some of my work has become a little more psychologically aware and deep, I hope at least. And that brings with it a measure of realism, a measure of autobiography that is perhaps presented in a more direct form. Writing, of course, you're always drawing on your own life and your own feelings. But lately I've been writing some things a little bit closer to the actual facts of my life.
And certainly The Marriage Plot, the most recent novel, that fell into that category.
Right. Yeah, right. It's my most, I don't know what term to use, naturalistic, realistic novel. I actually think all my novels are realistic, despite some of the atmosphere, which can seem a bit more fantastical. But I never break the laws of physics, and I'm always pretty firmly rooted to the ground.
You never want to break the law of physics, do you?
I never do, unless it's somebody's, you know, in someone's mind, what they're imagining. I often think about the naturalist writer Edward Abbey talking about the natural world and people who want to go to outer space and visit other planets. And he said something like, you know, why would they want to do that? You know, they're not even appreciating what we have here right on Earth. And I feel that in terms of writing fiction, you know, actual life that I see around me and the people I know and the events going on in the world and the particularity of just physical reality that I see every day is so amazing. And, to say the same word again that I used before, mysterious to me, that I find it compelling. And, I need to look nowhere else but at life itself to think about what I want to write about.
I have said this to authors in the past, and they have taken it as a slight, which I certainly don't mean it in your case. But you are not a...
You've prepared me.
I have prepared you. But you are not a prolific novelist. You take your time in your work.
Yeah.
And that is the schedule that you have developed and honed.
Well, it just goes back to, you know, what I said to your first question is my basic inability to write is something I haven't been able to cure. I always think I will. It's not that I don't write a lot. I write almost all the time, and I produce many, many pages and many versions of stories that I don't publish. So I have a very prolific ability to not be prolific, if you know what I mean. I'm constantly writing and producing things. I just don't choose to publish it all because usually it's just not working out. And I really have to say, every time I finish a book, I think I've figured it out, and now I'm going to be on a more regular schedule and be like a normal writer, mainly so that I won't have to answer questions like this, which are always painful. But I don't seem to be able to do it, either temperamentally or the kind of, you know, abilities I have or what it is. I don't know. I do hope, I'm getting older, and I hope to figure out a way of writing more consistently or publishing more consistently. But, you know, in the end, I just want to publish what I think is publishable and worth reading. And that has to take precedence over any other wish to be a regular or prolific author.
Because I think what happens often is when it takes several years for someone to write a novel, that those of us in the audience have been trained to think, oh, there must be some sort of problem, you know, there must be some sort of writer's block, some sort of issue that is causing that. But I think, but also we've learned, at least with you and with other authors who take time, that's the process, that's what it takes. And it's not coming from a lack of ideas.
No, it's not coming from a lack of ideas, and it's hopefully not coming from a complete lack of talent. But you're also right. There is a problem there that certain writers confront, you know, And I know it well. It's just, you know, you come along at a time when there are a lot of books that have been written and centuries of wonderful novels, and you're aware of contending with that, and you're aware of what's been done before, and you're trying to write something that perhaps hasn't entirely existed before. And that is a specter of great force, and it can, you know, compel you, but it can also cramp you up. So there is a lot of, you know, writers, a lot of reason for writers to have writer's block or to proceed cautiously. And as I said before, you know, that's useful, that's healthy, but it also has a side where it can be unhealthy. And that's kind of where I live, and I try to stay on the healthy side of that line.
Is it important for you to keep your hand in teaching and working with students at Princeton? Is that important to you, or do you ever think if you divorced yourself from that it would free you in some way?
It's very important for my health benefits. That's the most that I think about it. No, I wrote for many years before teaching. Teaching is a separate activity. It has really nothing to do with my literary output or literary life. So freeing myself of it wouldn't make the writing easier. I don't have a very demanding schedule. I only teach half time because writing is really what I do. So, you know, it doesn't get easier because I'm teaching. It unfortunately doesn't get particularly harder, but it's a separate thing. I could be doing plumbing in my off hours, and it would have as much effect. In fact, plumbing, I might actually have more things to write about.
Do you
get to go into so many houses?
Yes, and poke around. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Is there an understanding of your audience of what people enjoy about your work?
There's not an understanding that I possess. Someone might understand it. There's a, you know, extremely diverse body of people read my books of all ages. So I never have a sense of one kind of person reading my book, nor do I write to satisfy that fictional person. I write some, you know, I try to write something that I would like to read or my friends would like to read, and usually that's sufficient in order to motivate me or shape the work.
Jeffrey Eugenides will be giving the annual William Gifford Lecture on Tuesday, the 28th of October at 6 o'clock at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. And you can find out more information by going to vassar.edu. Vassar.edu. It's the Gifford Lecture on the 28th with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jeffrey Eugenides. Jeffrey, thank you very much for spending time with us. It'll be very nice having you back in the region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Again, you can find out more information about Jeffrey Eugenides and the William Gifford Lecture by going to vassar.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.